In thinking about Ralph Vaughan Williams' The Lark Ascending, I've been thinking about lines, the drawing of lines, and the demarcations made by them. The line between here and there, the past and the present, the sea and the sky, dusk and dawn, midnight and sunrise, the line between before and after, the lines of the stave and the lines of the stanza, song lines and melody lines, and the line of the horizon, the crossing of lines and the blurring of them, the line between who can and who can't, and who gets to decide, the boundary line between war and peace, and thus between home ground and so-called enemy lines. I am a poet who collaborates with musicians. I'm currently researching and writing the libretto for two new works in collaboration with classical composers. I'm a working class woman of mixed heritage, black Nigerian and white English, specifically Kentish heritage. My mother was born and raised in Kent, and the maternal side of my family live in the county, and so are familiar with the landscape in which Vaughan Williams wrote The Lark Ascending. It is a piece of music which connects me to a sense of my own Englishness. In a sense, it is a kind of sonic compass. The Lark Ascending, a locator of my own sense of Englishness. Why is that? I find that as a black woman, my Englishness is often question marked. Where are you from? No, where are you really from? Ironically, a sense of Englishness is something I feel closest to when I am not in England. A few years ago, during a research visit to New York, I experienced a bout of unannounced and unanticipated homesickness. There were two things which gave me a sense of home in its absence: the actor Noma Dumezweni reading Wordsworth's poem Daffodils on the Today programme, and The Lark Ascending, played on repeat. Skylarks announce their territories using song. Poignant when we consider Vaughan Williams was writing his score inspired by George Meredith's poem in 1914, the year the First World War broke out across Europe. Ideas of territories and homelands were shattered in the conflict as maps of nationhood and terrain were rewritten. In 2018, I first watched Prom 17, a performance of The Lark Ascending with musician and scholar Ty Murray as solo violinist. Murray is a black woman and African American. Her performance, a collaboration with the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, is startling, compelling, embodied. Her face is expressive. Her gaze lifts up and out into the Albert Hall auditorium and seems to move across the timeline of the here and now to the horizon of the early 20th century Margate coastline, which Vaughan Williams walked along as he first composed the score. Her eyes rising toward and reading the horizon, she sees the lark, and when she sees it, we see it too. And from that place of seeing, sensing, knowing, she plays the lark into being. Her performance elicits the audience's standing ovation. There are three rounds of cheers and applause from the stools right up to the spotlight stars in the universe of the gods. However, online, the performance is subject to vitriol. One armchair critic, self-titling and styling themselves with the name of a composer synonymous with the European classical canon, takes to their keyboard in self-elected defence of the entire genre of classical music. Was she on stage at the proms because she is black? they type into the digital stratosphere, later expressing fears of black, it is implied, infiltrators of the it is implied white classical genre, whom they insinuate are harming the tradition. Who owns the lark? In four lines, the online critic territorialises the lark and classical music as white. Each of their sentences a fantasised supremacist dividing line between perceived notions of who can and who can't, and who gets to decide. A black interpreter of the lark, a black lark, if you will. Dismissed, wished stateless, and outside of the pastoral kingdom in which the lark has built its nest in the earth, as real larks do. Vaughan Williams believed that music belongs to everyone. Music must be offered to all, though it will not be accepted by all, he wrote. We must speak the password to everybody. Chichi Nwanuku is a principal double bassist, professor at the Royal Academy of Music, and founder of Chinake. It is a global majority and ethnically diverse orchestra to cite its motto, championing change and celebrating diversity in classical music. Nwanuku has said, "We're creating a vision of what tomorrow's orchestras can and should look like. If even just one black child feels that their colour is getting in the way, that they have to work that bit harder to achieve anything, then I hope to inspire them, give them a platform and show them that music, whatever the kind, is for everyone." How many black interpreters of the lark have there been, I wonder? And how many have played the lark at the proms? There will be those listening to this who balk at the counting game of redress, who find the idea of counting numbers in regard to equality uncouth, unrefined, distasteful. But if you've always seen yourself and those in your own image centre stage and in the spotlight to the point where consciously or subconsciously you see those figures as ordinary, ubiquitous, dare it, normal, who's counting then? But if count we must, then of the 19 years to present that the lark has been played at the prom since its first performance by Marie Wilson in 1934, one black performer has played the lark at the proms. Ty Murray's lark ascends beyond solely the elegance of her proms performance, becoming a performance of grace in the midst of a wider complex denial. Denial of the right to be in a specific cultural and artistic space. Denial that you can and belief that you can't. She flies across any idea of a racialized dividing line with an interpretation of the score that is resolute, moving beyond borders and territories and into an abundance and expanse of harmonic, melodic and notational space. The undulating journey of major and minor, bittersweet. Murray's performance of The Lark Ascending sings in me for many reasons, beyond its brilliance. First is the visual image and metaphor of an astonishing soloist, a black woman standing at the helm of the orchestra. They each work together and in unison to make this collaborative, poignant, sometimes melancholy, sometimes euphoric sound. A romance of violin and orchestra. Murray's and the orchestra's presences remind us that historical definitions of England and Englishness have always been expansive rather than reductionist. Second is the theme of war, which runs the timeline of the score's creation, right from its beginnings in 1914. War permeates my own consciousness, twofold. First, two of my own great-great-uncles on the Kentish side of my family died in the First World War. One, as a German prisoner, he was just 19. Letters to him were returned to his my family, who only later understood this as a clue to an impending formal notification of his death. The lines of their loving sentences unread. When I hear the lark ascending, I imagine him, incarcerated, dreaming of escape, harvesting the memory of ripe apples and a homecoming of Kentish green fields, his younger sister's voices singing of summer and teenage jokes with his younger brother, my great-grandfather, who was too young to go to war. War also resonates because I'm the daughter of a refugee to this country. He fled the Biafran War, carrying the phantom noise of that conflict in his head. Whilst he was largely silent, rarely speaking of it, we heard it, and the sound was at times deafening. The profound sense of what the lark represents in terms of both placement and displacement lives in me. The lark's song is symbolic. The bird rises nearly vertically, like the bow on the violin's bridge when the highest notes of Vaughan Williams' score are played. When the bird rises, its wings move rapidly. It can stay suspended in the air for many minutes before descent. The lark's song flights can last up to an hour, during which time it can reach heights of anywhere up to 1,000 feet before returning to the ground. When we have no reason, such as hope, then it is difficult to soar or sing. Perhaps this is why the lark ascending resonates. The lark sings and soars on our behalf when it is difficult for us to do so. The bird, like the violinist who plays the lark, can only guess that they carry such responsibility as the weight of a listener's wishes. The lark's song endures because it opens up a horizon, not just in the landscape, but in us. Horizon is a word which can stand for any word you or I might choose. Possibility, potential, wonderment, awe. Vaughan Williams' music opens us up to it. Awe at life, that we too might know the lark's flight, crossing the line between here and there, the past and the present, the sea and the sky, dusk and dawn, midnight and sunrise, the line between before and after, that we too can cross the dividing line between who can and who can't, between the literal or metaphorical wars we have endured, and still make a nest deep in the land we call home.